What's up, bros? Welcome to another BroGraph Brocast. I'm Dave Koss.
And I am super sick Matt Milstead.
Oh, poor Matty. Sicky.
Dude, so I've been fighting off this sickness for like a week now, and I finally, it just overtook me last night. So I called in sick to work, and I have been just sitting around the house, sleeping, and watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Nice.
Which is like one of the funniest TV shows on right now.
I thought it was pretty funny, but, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, you have a pact with your wife where you're not supposed to watch it separately, and True. She just kept watching anyway, and so now I haven't caught up on it for that reason.
Yeah, well, I watched the whole first season, and now I'm catching up on second, and they're in the third now. I've got that pact with my wife for Gotham. Have you watched that yet?
No.
Oh, man, you need to. It's really good. Like, I didn't think I would like it. But I really do a lot. It's a good origin story for Batman.
I hear it's good, but
and I didn't think they were actually going to add like Bruce Wayne or anything in it. But he's actually, you know, a character as a kid, which is cool.
I heard it's good. Yeah, I need to put it on my list. You know, add it to the list.
Balls. So,
but I saw The Martian.
Yeah, me too. It was awesome.
It was really good.
Yeah, me and my wife went and saw it. I knew it was going to be good. Like, or at least I had a fair idea it was going to be good, you know, because it's Ridley Scott. And I told my wife, I said, just go. I've heard good things about it. And she has not stopped talking about it since, which is awesome.
I said basically the same thing to my wife, too, because I read the book. And so I knew it was good, you know, as long as they followed along well, and it was getting a good Rotten Tomatoes rating, and I was like,
and you said it followed the book like really well, really closely, right?
Very close. There were only a couple things they left out, and they were pretty much irrelevant.
Yeah,
but yeah, really good.
Yeah, did you notice when he's like super skinny there near the end or whatever? I mean, you think they had a double doing his work, right? Instead of like doing the stuff that they did with Captain America, where they actually like physically did CG to make him look smaller.
You know, I don't know. I hadn't thought of that until you brought it up just now. I figured that he lost a bunch of weight before the role, and they shot all that first, and then he like put it back on.
Yeah, but if you notice, like, you know, so I've been working out a lot lately. You know, and I've started like noticing guys' muscles as gay as that sounds,
is that why?
Because I'm trying to like tone up different parts of my muscles. So I was watching, you know, and I saw how skinny he was, but then like he was covering up his face almost the whole time, you know, while he's like, you see how skinny his body is.
Well,
but
he
then
had a beard.
Once it shows, yeah, but once it shows up, yeah, I know, then he's got the beard, so it's covering up like his neck muscles and stuff like that. But you can tell when someone's like muscular, like they've got a real thick muscular neck. And he still had that on all the close-up shots. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
So to make a long story short, I've been checking out guys' muscles.
Well, and we'll try not to do any spoilers or anything like that, but what I thought was interesting about the movie is thinking back like on the CG. Like, I think someone asked, it might have been you, asked me, was the CG good? And I'm thinking, you know, I didn't notice the CG.
Yeah. Yeah, same
I guess
here.
That's a good thing, right? I
mean, yeah. Yeah. There are certain movies that, you know, you really notice it. And, or, you know what I hated? Oh, man. Avengers Age of Ultron. You know, I liked the movie, but I hated the fact that, like, during some of these scenes, they were so dark. I hate it when they purposely darken a scene just to cover up all the crappy CG work that they're doing. You know, it's like, and when you're in a movie theater, it's already dark enough in there. You put a really dark scene in there, I can't see anything, you know? Of course, I'm 32 years old and I've got terrible eyes and I wear really thick Coke bottle glasses, you know, but still. But yeah, I didn't notice any, I didn't notice, like, it all looked good. I mean, I won't spoil the end, but, you know, the end, Iron Man thing was a little hokey, you know.
Yeah, so that's all you can...
Yeah, yeah. But you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you haven't listened to the show before, this is our supplemental podcast. Mm-hmm. The two of us run a motion graphics tutorial site.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the main piece of BroGraph, and this is just kind of something we do on the side for fun. We mm-hmm. talk about motion graphics. We talk about business side of doing graphics, contracting side.
Not just for graphics. It could be for really any freelancer. You know?
Yeah, in the production video industry, I guess, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, it could be, you know, also like graphic design or something like that. It all kind of goes hand in hand.
After Effects, Cinema 4D, Nuke, render engines, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Hardware, Octane, software. V-Ray.
Yeah. So kind of all the above when it comes to 3D motion graphics. Our main focus is Cinema 4D.
Mm-hmm.
And our render engines of choice are V-Ray and Octane, but also the standard renderer as well.
Right.
Lately, it's been Octane and V-Ray.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, the very excited, huge news.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I said on the last one.
Good news, everyone.
If there was an update, we'd talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was V-Ray. They released their 3.25 open beta, but in order to sign up, you have to like actually send all your information to them, like what you originally signed up, the like your username that you signed up, the email address, and all this other stuff, and like your serial number for your Cinema 4D license. And so
I'm guessing you sent it to them and they sent it to you and you've been playing around with it all week.
No, I have yet to actually get them to send it to me yet. So they said, be patient because they're going to get through everything. And they said, we don't work on the weekends. Fantastic. Mm. We won't process any requests during the weekends. So that's great to know.
Yeah, but when did you put that in?
Oh, like Monday of last week. So, I mean, it was October 1st or September 31st. I remember they released it like the day after the very end of the month or the first day of this month or something like that.
Now, how come this can't just be a regular beta like Octane does where it's watermarked or low res or whatever?
Well, they haven't released all the, like with this beta... What I was really excited about was the, you know, the interactive preview renderer and stuff like that. And this beta doesn't even have it from what I've heard. And that's the big thing. Like, that's what we want to see. We want to be able to use GPU and stuff like that in order to see our renders really quickly. But this one doesn't even have it. And I don't know when they're going to release it. They say sometime this year.
What's the point of the beta then if you can't play around with that?
I don't know.
It's not going to be any different from what you're doing now.
Yeah, maybe getting people excited for it. I mean, I know I'm excited for it, but I don't know. So, hopefully here soon, we're going to get our hands on it. We're going to play with it. But, you know, apparently with it comes, you're under an NDA where it's a non-disclosure where you're not supposed to talk about the new features or something like that, but you can, or you're not supposed to show screen caps and stuff like that, but you can show renders that you've done, which is kind of cool.
So does that mean we can't talk about it if you,
I don't know. I'll have to read more into that NDA.
Yeah.
So, but you limit your, like they say, if they catch you, then you're limited to, not getting betas in the future. So, which kind of sucks.
Yeah. Well, you figure that they would want people to check out the beta and talk about it at least.
Yeah, you would think. You would think. I don't know.
Why are they so protective of it? I can't talk about it.
Because I don't think, I just don't think it's done yet. And I don't think they want to put something out there. They don't want to be Apple. They don't want to put something out there that's not finished and then just have a whole bunch of people complain about it, you know?
Like every technology company?
Mostly Apple.
Every game company, especially.
Dude, ever since iOS 9 came out, all my tablet devices and my phones are just running so slow. I haven't had
any issues.
Good for you.
The only thing that I don't like about it is the fact that every day it reminds me I have to update to the newest version of iOS 9.
You haven't done that yet?
No, like the little point updates. that they do
updates. I don't know.
Yeah, a 9.01, 9.02.
Yeah.
I don't
care. You haven't
about
done that,
that
yet?
Well, I don't want to do that every freaking day.
Why not? You back up to iCloud.
It's time consuming. You got to sit there and you got to download it.
Oh my gosh.
Not enough room.
How big's your phone?
I don't know. 32? I don't know.
Did I hear a nine?
Niner? But it's always like there's like, you know, something is wrong. You can't do it because of this. And then the phone isn't more than 51% charged and you're not on the right Wi-Fi. And then I'm on the wrong Wi-Fi because I'm at work. And then,
see, I back up my phone every day. And you can tell it to update at night, so you do it while you're sleeping.
Yeah, so you wake up the next morning and it aired out, your phone doesn't work.
Oh my gosh.
And then you got to go to work with no maps, no Waze, with no police,
no.
Anything. You can't call anybody.
We won't know how to get to work because we've got no GPS.
You can't call anybody. I'm sit there in an hour commute with nothing to listen to because my phone's bricked. If there's an emergency with my kid, I guess I can't find that out. Then I get to work and I can't do that. I can't fix it because I'm at work and I'm supposed to be working.
9.02 was like the fastest update I've ever done. I actually did it on my way to work and it wasn't even big enough to where I needed to be on Wi-Fi to do it. That's funny though.
Yeah, but I always want to just be in a place where like I don't have to have my phone at that exact second just in case.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah, but then you know,
what if something happens at my kid's school and they're trying to get a hold of me and my phone is bricked or something?
Well, that's because you worry, you're a worrier. Like we talked about last time, you're a worrier.
Yeah, there was an article about that actually I saw on Facebook this week.
What about being a worrier?
Yeah, about most creative geniuses are worriers.
I guess I'm not a creative genius.
I thought about sending it to you and being like, hey, check it out. I guess I'm a creative genius after all.
That's funny. Well, good to know I'm not a creative genius. Which is good because I was kind of on the fence of whether I was or not.
Good it is funny.
Good to know that, you know, you told me about a post on Facebook that you saw an article by someone we don't know that has affirmed my non-creative genius status.
Well, actually, it was pretty accurate as far as what we talked about on the last show, which was that, like, how worrying is because, like worrying and being prepared for different situations kind of go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to prep for different various scenarios and things of that nature are related to the worry factor, and it was verifying our theory, but
yeah.
But then it went on to say something about creativeness. I don't know how they linked it to creativeness. I don't know. I got bored.
That's funny.
So I was going to try and start doing the tutorial. Well, it was going to start out as a BroGraph experiment.
Mm-hmm. With the drone?
Yeah, with the drone and using Pix4D, and then, you know, I took it outside. I was just going to mess with it, and I opened up the Pix4D, and it says connect to Wi-Fi, to connect to your drone's Wi-Fi. And I'm like, well, that's not how the Phantom 3 works anymore. Like, the 2 did that. And so I'm looking at it.
The
and
Phantom
think,
3 doesn't have, a built-in Wi-Fi, and the Phantom 2 did?
No, the Phantom 2 connected to your phone through Wi-Fi. Now you just direct connect it to your phone.
Oh, okay.
Because it's better. You get better quality that way.
Now, is this Pix4D? Is that what it's called? Is this made by DJI or whatever?
No. Okay. This is its own company.
And do they have an update for it or anything?
Well, apparently they're working on the version for the Phantom 3.
Lame.
And I was like, I know I saw people doing this with the 3. Like, I saw many of them. And so turns out that they are all doing it manually because it's in the works. But they just haven't updated yet.
What does that mean, manually?
Where you take the pictures yourself, and then you have to bring them into the program and place them with GPS manually, which is a huge pain. I've done
it
before.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a huge pain, especially if you're taking a lot of pictures. And so, you know, I'm going to have to look that up and see what I want to do. Or, you know, I'll get my Phantom 2 back, and I can do it with that. I just got the RMA thing from DJI today to send in my old drone. So
cool. Did they give you any idea on how long it was going to take?
Oh, gosh,
other than just the regular 6 to 8 weeks or whatever?
No, but the questions that they asked me were very minimal, so I'm thinking that they know exactly what the problem is, because it's everything I read, it's a known issue. So,
well, that's good.
I really want to do that experiment.
Yeah, but that would be cool.
You know, in the meantime, you know, you and I are working on we're working on model packs. I don't know if we've really talked about that too much yet.
Yeah, we mentioned it. We're gonna do some interior model packs where we've got some like interior scenes, we've got some full scenes, or we've also got like all the models within the scenes. We've got some furniture and some different lighting things and, you know, just basic setups and stuff like that. So you're working on a sci-fi pack, right?
Right. I'm working on a sci-fi pack, and that's going well, but you and I are working on a lot of stuff on the side as well, and working on these packs. And we're doing the podcast, and I don't want us to lose sight, you know, of actual tutorials. So I've got some ideas kind of in the queue that have been there for a while that are shorties. I have some that I've already recorded from a while back that I haven't posted yet.
Yeah, I still want to do my pillow tutorials. Well, you know, when you're creating, I've found so many different like ways to create pillows, you know.
Oh yeah.
And realistic looking pillows and stuff like that. And depending on the type of, yeah, even the curtains too. Oh, and I found another neat way of doing, like, so, you know, sometimes you scrunch the curtains together or something in real life, you know, what is it called? Yeah. Well, so if you do like like I was saying, where you create the spline and then you just loft between another spline. Mm-hmm. Well, if you create a spline, the same spline in the center, and like just transform it, you know, smaller or whatever, it creates that scruff together look, which is kind of cool. So,
well, you should do one on that. We're going to try and do these shorties to kind of get them out there and keep things moving while we're working on all these other behind the scenes things.
Yeah. And well, with the pillows, there's like several different ways you can go about making pillows, and depending on what kind of, you'd be surprised once you start doing these interior scenes and stuff like that. Like, there are so many different types of pillows, you know?
Right.
Do you want it just like a seamless pillow, or do you want one with the little, you know, circular thing around it or whatever? I don't know. It's kind of neat.
Well, I think you should do them.
Well, I'm gonna.
I wish you would.
Add it to the list.
So, you know, I took that drone out there, right? And I'm realizing that I can't do what I wanted to do. So I'm like, well, I'm out here. I'm going to fly the thing around. And I'm getting a little bit more ballsy with the thing. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, I'm still very, very careful with it, but you know, the thing is out of my sight a lot, but I'm very much
that would make me nervous.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you see exactly where it is on the map, and it's not far. I'm not really going that far. It's just up there, you know. And when I say out of sight, it's more of it, like, you're not supposed to let it out of your sight per se, and it really isn't. It's just very far down the street and up. It's where it's a dot where you could, it's within line of sight, but you can't see exactly where. Like, you have to search around in the sky to really find it. I know where it is, and it's still within line of sight of the controller, which you want to keep. But you know, I'm sitting there kind of in the shade too, so I'm a little bit, you know, I got a little bit of trees in the way or whatever. So I fly the thing across one way, and I fly it the other way, and then I'm flying some circles and stuff. I'm just testing a couple things, really, just because I want to see, like, how fast can I get this to go horizontal and vertical and all that. And this dude, like, walks up. Now, usually when people walk up in the neighborhood, they're like, oh, is that a drone? It's so sweet. And, like, we sit there, I tell them about him, like, yeah, this. You know, if I really trust them, I'll be like, okay, you can fly it for, like, 30 seconds, but you know, we're real careful with it, you know, or I'll show them, you know, what I'm seeing on the screen and whatnot. And so this guy walks up, and I think he's gonna want to be like, hey, that's your drone? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you know, you're hovering that above my house. I'm like, yeah, it's hovering over everybody's house. I'm testing a couple of things. He's like, oh, you want to stop doing that? I'm like, well, no, not really, because, like, I'm testing this thing out. I do this for a living, and I know what I'm doing. I'm sitting here trying to test a couple things. Like, this is how I make money. He's like, well, you need to stop or I'm going to call the police. I'm like, okay. I'm like, dude, you need to just go away because you don't know what you're talking about, because it's 100% legal what I'm doing right now. I'm not hovering this thing over your house and spying on you. I don't see anything more than Google Earth does. So you need to just stop and let this slide. And he's like, oh, yeah? Well, maybe you should take better care of your lawn.
What? So now it comes to personal insults?
And that's when I lost it. And I was just like, F you, and just like went off. And the guy, I'm like, the F out of here. Like, you come up to me on my own property and try and tell me what to do. I'm not doing jack for you. Like, with, you know, some more harsher words than what I'm saying right now. And he like stops and like turns back to try and say something else. I'm like, no, go. I'm like, I'm not talking to you. Get the F out of here.
Wow. That's funny.
And, you know, there's a whole backstory to this other thing, but like somebody called and complained that I hadn't weed whacked 1 week. And it was a big deal because every time something like that happens around here, the whole neighborhood gets pissed off because the city will come in to like check on what somebody complained about, whether or not it's a valid complaint or not. And they'll start going around the whole neighborhood writing people up for things.
Oh, that's awful.
And so one person is upset, you know, and I didn't violate any rules or anything. That's the funny part. Like, the grass was not over 12 inches. It was like 5 inches of grass, like barely over a curb. And I went back and forth with the city, and even the guy in the city is like trying to show me ordinance, and I'm throwing it back in his face, saying none of this says what you're saying, and this is unlawful for you to try and enforce a law that doesn't exist. And the whole neighborhood was upset about this.
Yeah.
So at this point, when the guy had said the lawn comment, I immediately knew he was the guy who sent in the original anonymous complaint.
Yeah.
Had to be, because he's not in the little app that everybody in the neighborhood uses. He's like one of the only people not in it, and so he didn't read what everybody else had been writing about him. But
oh,
I mean,
that's funny.
He lives like across the street and one house down, in around the cul-de-sac, the little roundabout thing in front of the house. And so he went back there, so he's pretty far away, but I can still see him, and he's standing there. And I'm like, this guy, this freaking guy, he doesn't have a clue how it works. And so he does. He goes back on the phone. He calls the police. I'm like, all right. I keep flying around. I'm like, whatever. Finish off my battery. I land the thing. I go in. I put it in the house. And I'm thinking, okay, here's what's going to happen. Officer's going to come over. He has every right to go in my house if the door's open.
The officer does.
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to do. I put the thing in the house. I do not have my ID because he doesn't need to see my ID. I know what my rights are.
Jeez.
I'm on my own property. I don't need to have my ID. I lock the door and I leave everything inside. So all I have is my key in my pocket and I have my phone in my hand. And
Dave the anarchist.
The police officer comes up and he goes over to the guy's house first. And he goes to the door and he's like sitting there, standing there, you know, talking to the guy, maybe only 5 minutes, if that. And then I see the officer. I'm just sitting there waiting for him because I'm like, this is great, because the guy is going to complain and he's going to say he can't do anything about it. And the guy is going to be even more pissed off. So he comes up to me and I had my phone in my hand and I videotaped right in his face the entire time.
The cop?
The cop.
Oh, geez, Dave.
I sat there. I didn't even stand up. He came up. I stayed sitting on my porch, and I held the phone up. Clearly, I'm recording the guy. I'm sure it happens to him, or it's happened to him before. And he comes up and asks me what happened. I'm like, this guy came up to me on my property and told me I was flying a drone around, and he didn't want it over his house. And I said, it's not over your house. It's 300 feet in the air. You can't even tell. It's like a blip. I'm like, I'm not spying on you. It's no different than Google. And I said, I know what my rights are, and I know what I'm allowed to do, and I do this professionally and as a hobby. This is my hobby drone I was flying around. I was testing a couple things on it. He came up to me and started saying stuff. He said, well, you guys got in a heated argument about it. I said, absolutely. Once he asked me to stop, and I said, I don't have to stop, and he insulted my lawn for some reason, I said, F you, I don't want to talk to you, go away. I'm not going to get into it with you, I'm not going to argue. So I said that to him, and I talked to the officer. I said, unless I'm doing something illegal, then what is there to talk about? He's like, there's nothing. I said, is it illegal? He's like, no. He's like, what you're doing is absolutely fine as long as you're not taking pictures of his backyard or something. Because of the new ordinance at the beginning of Texas, beginning of September for Texas. Well, you can't take a picture of somebody's lawn. And there's been a similar law in the books before that, where if you take a picture or video of somebody's house or lawn and they think that you did, all that can really happen is the officer comes up to you and says, I need you to delete that picture right in front of me, and you do it, and that's it. It doesn't go, it's not like an arrestable offense type thing. It's very, very, you know, borderline anything. So that's
dumb.
I post a thing on the little app for the neighborhood, and I tell everybody what
happened. You should print off a picture off of Google Maps and, like, just leave it in his mailbox.
Right. Yeah, let me just provoke the guy. Well, and that's what the officer said. He's like, you know, there's nothing that you're doing wrong here. You just have to live with this guy over here. I said, you know what? I've lived here 7 years, and he's not bothered to come up and introduce himself to me. I've never seen him before in my life, and he lives right there. But yet he has no problem coming up here and trying to impose his own rules on me. I said, I'm not living by this guy's rules. I'm not going to go out here and not do a test on my drone. I'm not going to leave the house and go fly somewhere else every time I need to test something, because someone else will call the cops on me. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. People are just going to have to get used to it. People are scared of new technology. Mm-hmm. They think that it's so scary. Like, 15,000 drones a month are being manufactured.
Yep.
And there's going to be more. You're going to see more of them, and people are just going to have to get used to it. Yep. I told the officer, you know, that's all I got, man. I don't know what else to tell you. So he's just got to write a thing, and he's like, I'm like, well, what about the fact that the guy, you know, came up on my property? He's like, well, he just, you know, he only stood right here on the porch. That's technically an easement. So it's the same thing as like being in the street. So it really doesn't affect anything. I said, exactly. Just like me flying a drone above his house is exactly the same thing. And he's like, yep, that's exactly what it is. You fly a drone over somebody's house, they cannot do anything about it. And with the new FAA regulations, the whole deal is that if you're a drone operator, or if the FAA is going to cover drones, right? If they want to control drones and say you can do it whatever you want, amateur, within these small restrictions, then these aircraft are technically governed by the FAA. Correct. So what happens if you shoot a shotgun at a 747?
Yeah, it's that is a federal offense.
It's a felony.
Yeah,
it's a federal felony. The same thing applies now if you do anything to a drone that's in the sky.
Nice. Yeah, but isn't there like a state law in like Wyoming or something where you've got drone hunting licenses or something?
That was something that they were talking about a while back, but now that it's regulated and that you're going to have the license here coming up the beginning of next year, it's a whole different story. So
weird,
you know, the guy. And so then later that afternoon I went out and flew again.
Good.
Around the neighborhood. I'm not going to stop. It makes me want to go fly it more. You know, the gall of some people, man.
Yeah,
I'm like, the thing isn't loud, you can't even see the thing. You know, people think that there's some telephoto lens on it and that I'm like peering into their back window or something. And even if you see the thing hovering, it's not probably not because I'm taking a picture of anything. It's probably because I've stopped for a minute because I'm calibrating something, or I'm looking at the map, or I'm getting my bearings. It, you know, when you're the onlooker and you see the thing hovering, you think that something's fishy is going on, but it's usually you've taken your hand off the controls in order to be safe. You know, I'm just like, you know what? I'm a professional here, and I'm not some kid flying around some cheap little drone. This is a lot of money, mm-hmm. and this is my, you know, livelihood here, and you know, I'm well aware of all the laws and all the regulations. So I posted the video to YouTube. I'll put it in the show notes.
Very nice. The video of you talking to the guy?
To the officer,
yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. So, you know, the things that we do to do BroGraph.
Yep. Yeah. It's all for you guys. We get the cops called on us and nearly arrested. All for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
So, oh, this is interesting. So you remember last week I said that Beeple was... that it looked like Beeple's stuff was on Zed's visuals. It was like the mm-hmm. same style. It was him, actually.
That's funny. Yeah, I know you texted me like right after. You're like, oh, it was him.
Well, I mean, it's good. I mean, hey, you could, you know... I mean, if you can recognize people's style, that's always a good thing.
Totally.
But... Yeah, there was, I think this week, a mini interview thing that Grayscale Gorilla posted mm-hmm. with Beeple. I think I called him Bleeple by accident, so don't send me emails. I don't know why I say that.
No one sends us emails anyway.
Oh, that's right. I think that there's a little breakdown on how he did some stuff. There is a video breakdown for sure, and he talks about it. And apparently he spent 8 months... doing that design.
That's crazy.
And I'm thinking, man, that's a great gig. I want to
Because he set the render time at 60,000 samples.
Well, yeah, but with a 15-minute per frame limit.
I know. This is funny.
But the interesting thing about Zed that I found out last week, I was backstage at a concert with some of my friends because I used to do a lot of touring stuff. And I was talking to one of my friends who does a lot of production management, stage management type stuff. And he said he was recently at a gig, and it was some sort of event where there's a whole bunch of different stars. So Zed was there, but he wasn't the headliner. He was just like, I don't know, doing a 15-minute little deal or something. Mm-hmm. And so he was going to go eat, and... you know, one of the handlers or whatever came up to my friend and was like, hey, he needs his own catering. And he's like, why? We have, you know, the star catering is right here. You can just go in here. It's a private catering just for the stars of the show. It's like, no. He needs his own separate. And at first my friend is like, is he like prima donna? Like, is he like all, is think he's that great? Mm-hmm. Like, why does he need his own catering? It's like, it turns out that it's not because he doesn't want to like go in there and like hang out with people. Mm-hmm. It's just such a it's such a big deal now to collaborate with him that he can't go hang out with them because everybody will rush him.
That's funny.
Because they want to get on his good side and do some collaborations because all the collaborations are really hitting big time on the charts.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really interesting.
So cool. I get my own catering because people need me so bad.
So he's like purposely trying to stay away from them because he doesn't want to do a collaboration just to do it because somebody wants to do a collaboration. He wants to really approach them, not them approach him.
Yeah,
that makes sense. That clarity song or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I did find out that the amount of money that he made for doing that short, like 15 to 30 minute gig where he was not the main act that night. Take a guess at how much money he made for that.
$1 billion. I think I'm a little over.
$250,000, a quarter of $1 million for showing up. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm thinking, hopefully that means that Beeple made a lot of money off of that 8 months of work.
Yeah, seriously.
Jeez.
I'm sure he did. His stuff is good. That's why I can afford to give it all away for free.
Yeah, well, and that's how he kind of started out, was doing that whole one-a-day thing.
Yeah.
which, man, that would wear me out. That would totally wear me out. I think he addresses that in the Grayscale Gorilla interview thing,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, about getting worn out on that or whatever.
Yeah. Hmm. Hey, so remember we were talking about videos, like cool videos we've seen throughout the week, mm-hmm. earlier? The typewriter video, you know, that one, that short little one that you sent me? You said, check this one out.
Oh, yes, yes,
It's got the typewriter thing on it.
Uh-huh.
You want to talk about that one? That one's pretty good.
Yeah, I found that on... let me write that down so I don't forget to put that in show notes.
So Dave sent me this little video. It's probably about like 10 or 15 seconds, but it all looks like it's MoGraph and like Espresso, you know, where they're basically driving one thing drives the next and so on and so on. And it's this really cool thing. It's got like these wooden key typewriter things and they all like kind of unfurl kind of like a blooming flower or something like that. Man, it's really cool.
Now, I'd like to know if that was done in Octane, because it
definitely
very much looks like it.
You can, it definitely has that Octane look. Like, there's something about
Octane.
There's a look.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is an Octane look, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't notice it as much when, you know, you're on, like, wide shots or something like that. But, man, when you were close up, you can just see that Octane look. You can see it for some reason.
You can see the look, and you can see it in the depth of field. It's unmistakable, mm-hmm. because it's so good, really. Yeah,
totally.
I really think that's kind of why. It's just because it's such an incredible look that nobody else has really crafted that look yet.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm trying to look up in my... the problem is I never remember where any of this crap is on Behance.
Mm-hmm.
You go to, like, your portfolio and then to your collections.
Oh,
man,
I don't know.
So hard to get to. Here it is. I found the video. It's called Brand Animation 2015.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty tight name.
Well, the reason is it's lumbre.tv, LUMBRE.tv. I believe... Let me look up the basic info and... Yeah, okay, this is what I thought. Okay, the creative process leaves a lot on the cutting room floor. Sometimes it's a great idea, but it doesn't fit the project. Sometimes a client rejects it, and sometimes you simply don't have time to explore it. But every now and then, an idea sticks in your craw after the project is finished, and you just have to do something with it. We picked up a few ideas from different projects and put them together into a video and feel much better now. Which, it's true, man. There's a lot of fun stuff that I've... wanted to do over the years that people have just instantly shot down, and I'm like, man, mm-hmm. you don't know how good this was gonna be, you know, like especially when it comes to clients that you have to pitch a whole bunch of ideas to,
mm-hmm.
like 10 ideas, and you know number one is the one you want to do so bad,
yeah,
and you put everything into it, and you're like it's putting all these ideas, and like you just want to like really make them feel like excited about this idea, and you hit that first idea and they're like, I don't really like that, and you move on to the next one. It's like, ah,
I love the way the camera moves with this thing, you know, mm-hmm. like when the when one of these little keys is coming out, it's like the camera's moving with it. Man, it's so cool. Do you think this is all driven in Espresso? Because it seems like you could link everything together to where it's running in Espresso, you know.
I don't know. I mean, it with as many keys as there are, I would say yes. I do like how it moves with it there. That's really mm-hmm. cool. What I really love is the mix of textures, the dark and light wood, and the I don't know what you would call it. Maybe more of a maybe iron? No.
Like the black metal parts?
Black metal, copper, almost like that type of metal where you know if you touch it, you're going to get grease on your fingers.
Yeah, okay.
I know.
I know what you're talking about.
You know exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like what would be in a typewriter, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to get ink on yourself. You could do this without Espresso.
Yeah. Man, it'd be hard.
And well...
It would take a lot of time. Espresso saves quite a bit of time whenever you're doing stuff like this. Like when I created that engine animation, I drove it almost all exclusively on just espresso and one little turning of a part, you know?
Yeah, but there's so many of them. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, to connect all these to each other in espresso,
yeah.
It almost seems to me like they just did the keyframing and then just...
offset everything?
Offset keyframes. Oh, because man. To me, it would almost be easier to do that than to sit there and connect, like... literally 400 nodes to each other inside of espresso.
Yeah. And we need to write a script that will allow you to highlight a bunch of... If anyone's out there who writes scripts for Cinema 4D, contact us, because we want to write a script where you highlight all your keyframes and then you click a button and it offsets them however many keyframes or however many frames you set.
Mm-hmm. All in a row. Man. And I know it would be easy. It's just I don't know enough about Python.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a programmer, and it sucks because I really wish I were a better programmer.
I know a little bit about, you know, I know C++ and Java and stuff like that, but I still don't know how to create plugins for After Effects. I tried writing one or two, and it's just like way over my head. Like simple espresso ones, I can handle pretty well, except for whenever you're dealing with V-Ray... for some reason, which you want to move on to that? The fun espresso part that I experienced this week?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
Okay. So this week I had to, I'm creating a little espresso. And if you guys were on Reddit, on the Cinema 4D subreddit, you saw that I actually posted a question about it.
You sure you want to reveal your Reddit username like that?
That's all right.
Dang.
So anyway, well, see, I posted when I have questions, I post it under my own username instead of the BroGraph one, because I want BroGraph to seem like they know what they're talking about. So anyways, I was trying to create this espresso script or whatever that would read the pixel dimensions of an image. And then basically create a wall, or like a plane that is 20 times the size of the actual image, you know? So like my scene was set for 1920 by 1080 at 72 DPI, and my image was 72 DPI. So I had to go through and I had to do all this math and stuff like that. And once I set it up, you know, it seemed pretty easy. You read the size, and then you divide each one by 72, and that'll give you how many inches, right? So the inches, and then you multiply the amount of inches it is by 20, and then you set the X and Y, or the height and width value on your plane to that. Seems pretty simple. But for some reason, while I was using V-Ray was causing me all sorts of crazy problems to where it was stuck in centimeters and not in inches. Mm-hmm. So like if I had just done this in the standard renderer, I would have been fine. But because I was working in V-Ray, it wanted to work in centimeters, even though I had both my settings in both Cinema 4D and V-Ray, the V-Ray setting in inches. Mm-hmm. But it chose to do it in centimeters. So I had to then multiply everything by like 2.54. And then to make sure that I got the correct amount, I had to divide everything again by 2.54 in order to see my result. Giant pain in the butt. So yeah. Just a heads up, if you're working in espresso, just realize that when you're working with scale and stuff like that, and when you think you're working in inches, you could be working in centimeters, because V-Ray is just kind of like that.
Yeah, and I thought that what was going on is it was some sort of deal where it was converting vector to real or real to vector, and some sort of setting wasn't right. But turns out it was easier than that.
You know, I thought, I was so mad at myself because I'm like, I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I just don't know espresso well enough, as well as I think I do. But it seems like it should just make sense, you know. And then you and I are going back and forth. You're like, no, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm just using numbers. I'm just taking numbers, converting them to other numbers, and plugging in new numbers, you know. Yeah, it was a giant pain. But once I got it all figured out, it's cool because now I can plug in. My wife just texted me. She says, "You sound crazy talking to yourself."
I always thought about if my wife thought that, but she's too far away to even hear me talking right now.
Oh, that's funny. It's cool. Now I can take any image, put it into my material, and it will automatically update the size of my plane, of my wall, because basically I'm taking these wallpapers, and I want to be able to make it a real-world scale. So I in Photoshop, I'll take the wallpaper, I'll convert it to what the actual size is in inches, you know, at 72 dpi, then bring that in, and so then it converts it to inches, blah, 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 and with my Espresso script, it'll convert and see how many inches it is, so I'll get the same inches in Photoshop versus whatever, because it doesn't see it in inches. In Cinema, it sees it as pixels. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, multiply it by 20 times. So then whenever I set my UV coordinate, or my UV mapping or whatever, I'll just set it to, multiply 20 times, you know? And so then I've got 20 even amounts going all the way across.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So you should put that in the model pack for, the interiors.
That's the plan. That's the plan.
I got one that's going to go in there, too.
Cool. Yeah, so. And you've been working on your demo reel this week, haven't you?
Yeah, I was working on my demo reel. I have a little thing that I have to finish rendering for it to be done, but that's fun. I haven't done my own demo in a while. And so I was doing kind of killing two birds with one stone. I made this little screen that's like a panel type thing, like a futuristic panel.
Mm-hmm.
Figure it would go good. In the
sci-fi model pack.
So I built that whole thing, put the screen on it, and a lot of the different objects that I'm working with in the model pack will all have like similar connections, either something like BNC, small wire, or something that looks more like cam lock, which is power cable that a lot of people use in the, you know, concert touring corporate industry. And so I had a panel, and I had it on a stand with a little arm that comes out, articulates and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the power cable on it as well, and that strings around it. And what I really wanted to do is figure out a good way to make it where you could grab the panel and move the panel wherever you want, and the, mm-hmm. everything else just kind of follows automatically. And I thought of a couple different ways to do this. And
did you try what is it? Not KM.
IK?
Yeah, IK chain.
Yeah, that's what I ended up doing. And, Okay. You know, I'm the last person you would ever find modeling a character, mm-hmm. right? And I've done some IK stuff in the past, and I always find it a little confusing just because I haven't done it that much. And it's like the one thing that I'm like scared of doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it always seems like if I find something where the solution would be to use joints and bones, then I'm like, okay, I'll do this. And then I'll get to it, and then I'll realize that something isn't right and I don't know what I'm doing. And
mm-hmm.
I'll look online. I'm like, oh, I could do this easier with just keyframing, or I could just do this easier with this other thing, or, you know, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this time I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this the right way, because I'm not a character modeler.
Yeah.
You know, so this is just not my thing. And super simple, because you don't even have to set up joints and bones to do this.
Right.
And I didn't realize that. All you have to do is set up the IK and give it what do you call it? Not a destination, but a...
Oh, I don't know.
Forget what it's called. If you're familiar with that, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
To where here's where it starts, here's where it ends. Everything has the pivot point in the right place,
mm-hmm.
and you have a null that's your destination. That's not the right word for it.
Mm-hmm. Here's the question. Here's something I'm going to throw out there, you know, just to any of the listeners. It's something that I've had in my head for a really long time. If anyone knows how to connect 3D motion capture data to IK chain stuff and convert it into 2D, that would be fantastic. Email me, hit me up. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, into 2D?
Yeah.
Hmm. Seems to me, wouldn't you just take out the, use Espresso and take out the Z coordinates?
Yeah, I thought about that, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem to work correctly, You know, I think like you have to actually have, you have to have a tiny bit of Z in it in order for you not to have like intersecting character or intersecting planes and stuff like that, or extrusions or whatever. I don't know.
Never thought about it. I've connected a Kinect to Cinema 4D before, but
yeah,
I've never really thought about doing that for 2D.
I don't know, because I think it'd be a cool way to do 2D animation, you know? Like, you do motion capture data, and then you bring that in, and then you create the 2D characters and kind of just give them a tiny bit of extrusion, you know? And then...
Is that something you can do with the new animator thingy, character animator?
Yeah.
Or is it just maybe. Faces?
I think it, you can set up like buttons or something that you press to where they will actually do these things, you know? I actually coded something like that a long time ago where you would press certain buttons. I did a flash animation, you know, where it would follow along kind of like with the one where you, it would match up to your voice or whatever, audio, the character easily sync mouth movements to characters, 2D characters, the After Effects one that I did. I did a programming one in a class for a class or something where I had to do, I did it in Flash, and then I also set up some buttons where I'd hit the up button and he'd raise his arms, and down button he'd put his arms down and stuff like that. I think you can do that in Character Animator, but I'm not sure. I haven't played with it enough. Need more time in the day.
I know, right?
Or less sleep. Yeah. I'm thinking about going back on caffeine.
I was just gonna say you could do caffeine pills like Jesse.
90210 or no. Saved by the Bell.
Oh, blasphemy.
Sorry.
I mean, I did watch both. But yeah, you could get so excited about Cinema 4D.
Right.
Yeah, I think you should go back on caffeine.
Man, I've been...
You gotta have something.
I know. You know, I was telling my wife, I said, I am the most unhealthy person in the entire world. I care less about my health than anyone I've ever met. Or I care less about my health than anyone I've ever met, but I am the most healthy person I know. I work out every day. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't drink caffeine now, you know? I gave up caffeine and aspartame because I was, you know, highly, highly addicted to it. I was having 8 Diet Cokes a day.
Good Lord, man.
I know, right? So, gave that up. Now I'm all on water. And life is just kind of boring. It has no meaning anymore. Mm-hmm. I gave up smoking. I gave up drinking. Now I gave up caffeine. And I'm working out all the time. And now life just is
and
like...
No drugs.
And no drugs. And
no drugs.
No drugs. It's all
dang.
Just... Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, man, you got to have something.
Right.
I don't know if I could get rid of caffeine.
I know.
I've gotten rid of alcohol for up to a year before. But
I know. Yeah, but that wasn't your fault.
What's that?
Giving up alcohol for a year?
Oh, I'm talking about before that.
Oh, I thought you were talking about before the accident.
Oh, before the accident? No.
Or after the accident?
No, man. Just because, like, a long time ago, just decided to give it up for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you got to have a vice, man. You got to have something. You got to have some sort of...
Yeah, I got Reddit and Imgur. That's my vice right now.
Man.
And you know me with Imgur. Oh, my gosh. Like, every stop sign we're at, I'm pulling my phone out and lights. Surfing.
Well, let me look at 3 photos until the light turns green. Man, that's ADD right there.
Yeah.
See, well, maybe that's what you can do. Because of that, you can go and you can say that you need Adderall.
Yeah.
Because you're too ADD. And then you'll have a legal, totally cool drug that you can just take all the time.
No way. You don't
think about
use...
how much you'd get done in Cinema 4D.
Yeah, right. Be espresso scripting like crazy.
Yeah. Gotta get this done. Oh, gotta connect these notes.
It's funny.
That'd be great.
Anyway.
Facebook. What did you want to talk about Facebook?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so shout out to all the new fans that we have on Facebook. It's fantastic. It's good to see those numbers go up. However,
the ones that are 63 years old living in India probably aren't listening to this podcast.
Right. And, you know, there were a few, like, women who, I mean, nothing against the brodettes, you know. I got nothing against the brodettes.
The sisters?
No. Sisters?
What would you call them?
I don't know. Sisters?
It's never come up before.
No. No. Because you wouldn't say sistergraphs.
Did you say bros and hoes?
No, you don't want to say hoegraph.
Hoegraph. Oh, man. It's a whole nother website.
Coughed like crazy. That was awesome. All right, the brographs and the hoegraphs.
Hoegraph.com probably exists.
Hmm.
Dare I?
If it doesn't, then it's about to.
Is that H-O-E or H-O?
I think it's just H-O.
H-O-G-R-A-P-H.com.
No. Nope. Let's try H-O-E.
H-O-E. Nope.
Nope.
All right.
All right.
There we go.
Well, looks like we're going to buy a new one. Anyway, so yeah, we got a bunch of new Facebook lights. You know, we went through, so Dave and I wanted to up the amount of likes and kind of get our name out there. So we decided we would do a little bit of advertising. So we would, you know, we paid Facebook, mm-hmm. you know, to advertise our page. Yeah. And so we got like, what was it, like 250 likes in the first day?
In the first night.
I know. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So many people love us. This is great. Blah, blah, blah. And then come to like start looking at their pages and stuff and find out like, I mean, you know, when I create something in cinema, I post it on Facebook. You know, I want people to see. But like, you could tell the people that were liking our page and stuff were probably just fake.
Which doesn't make much sense to me, because this is highly targeted advertising. This is not like we were just looking for likes. Like, this is very highly targeted.
And so, you know, and it's so crappy that Facebook would do this. Like, it's like, why am I paying for likes? Why should I pay for likes? You know, I don't want to pay for likes. I want to pay for people.
You're not paying for likes. That's the thing.
I want to pay to, you know, get the name out there so that people can see what we're doing. And if they're interested in Cinema 40 or something, they know they've got another resource that they can go to, which is fantastic. You know,
and that's what we did.
Because we're a community. You know, and that's what we were doing originally. So now we're like paying, and that was our intentions. And then we got like, what do we end up with after the first week? Like 600 likes or something like that?
Yeah, but here's the thing about Facebook advertising. You're not paying for likes. It's not like you pay $100 and get 100 likes. And that's not what we want either. The whole point is for $10 a day, you run a campaign where it puts your page on the side and you make an ad that's very compelling. It has Brograph motion graphics tutorials, and it has the Cinema 4D logo on it, right? Mm. And the After Effects logo on it. Mm-hmm. Like, so you imagine someone scrolling through their feed and they see that and they're like, oh, hey, here's a tutorial site. And they go to it and they're like, this is cool. I'm going to like them on Facebook. Like, there's no rhyme or reason for any of these people to be clicking the like button.
Right. You know, yeah. And we had this one, she was like from India. And she was like a housewife or something. And she liked our page and then went through and shared all of our stuff. But I go through and I look at her profile and I'm just like, this you aren't real. You're not a real person.
Yeah, I hate that.
And it's like, well, why? You know, why would you just pay for likes? It's like, why is Facebook allowing this to happen?
I don't know. I don't get it. And the thing is, it was so highly targeted to just Cinema 4D people and After Effects people. And, you know, I had a lot of sub interest, but they were all very, very close to it. It was only in like our top five countries that we really get a lot of hits from.
We took India off almost immediately.
Immediately India was off. And then I think I took Spain off. And then I took a lot of the keywords out. Mm-hmm. And I think next go around when we do it again, it's probably going to be specifically just Cinema 4D and just the United States, just to see what happens.
Yeah.
Because once I started taking those out of there, we did start to get some quality people. And I would click on their profile. Mm-hmm. And in their profile, you can see like their graphics related in some way.
Yeah.
Like you can tell.
I did see we got quite a few great winners out there, you know, with some very, I don't know.
I don't care, man.
To their pages and I'm just like, oh my gosh, are you serious? The stuff that you're posting on here? Anyway.
To each their own. Hey, if they're watching, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah. As long as we can, as long as we can help one person.
Yeah. So, man, that's all I got. But cool. We still got an hour program in, I think. That's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost an hour, maybe. So.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, you know, if you guys like what you hear, make sure to check us out on Facebook or Twitter or all the social network stuff. We're going to have a few tutorials, I guess, coming up here in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure if you've got any questions and you want to direct straight to us, you can either hit us up on the BroGraph subreddit, or you can send us an email. We are BroGraphToots, T-U-T-S, @gmail.com. And yeah, feel free to hit us up on any of those.
And if you'd like to get the word out about the podcast for us, share us on Facebook or tell people about us or whatnot.
Or even give us a review on iTunes. That would be cool.
Absolutely. I was going to say rate us, you know, as well on there and leave a review. Let people know what you think. Because really that's in the iTunes world. That's what's going to get us out there is just by giving us a rating and at least a rating, if not a review.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, you know, if they see our numbers going up and they see the ratings going up, it really means that people are listening, people are getting active with the podcast. And so that really helps. We are also going to start selling shirts on the site.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been going through that. And I think the first shirt we agreed on is going to say, no BroGraph, no MoGraph.
Yeah, sure. So if you guys have any ideas for some good, you know, sayings or something like that, let us know. Maybe we'll turn it into a shirt and send you a couple.
BroGraph before HoGraph.
Oh, my gosh. oh, boy. But,
yeah, we're going to at least have the one shirt. And I got to make the logo smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because...
And check out the new site, the new revamped site, the new rebranded site. And you'll be so excited to hear we've got a new search feature. So if you're looking for that one specific one, actually someone was asking a question on the Cinema 40 subreddit tonight, and I was able to go and straight to our site and type in V-Ray and copy right or paste it right into the comment.
I've been doing the same thing, actually.
It's great.
Doing that instead of the YouTube, because, you know, we really don't promote the site much at all.
No, we don't.
And all of our hits are YouTube. Like, our website is our YouTube channel, honestly.
Basically,
that's really what it is. So we're trying to get that going, and so check there. We'll try and do blogs and other stuff that you wouldn't get on YouTube as well.
Totally.
And send us stuff, too. If you do anything that... you know, is related to one of our tutorials or something you did you want to share with us, please, mm-hmm. you know, share that with us as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Hey, let's do an artist of the week.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Or an artist of the podcast.
Artist of the podcast.
You know, because we don't do these every week.
Well, yeah.
So, but yeah, send us your stuff, you know, based on the tutorials that you've done or something that you like or something. And, if we like it, we'll put it on our blog as the featured artist of the week or the podcast.
And I'd like to dive into some other topics that I actually had somewhere and I couldn't find them before the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, if you're down for one next week,
yeah,
I'm down.
Yeah, hopefully I should have my V-Ray license by then.
Yeah, and maybe you can talk about it, or maybe you can't. Or maybe you can break your NDA and... Never get a beta again. Yeah.
That's all right. Interactive preview renderer. That's all I need.
I know. Come on, bring it.
By the way, I really like 3DS Max. I've been playing with it a lot lately.
Hmm.
May have to do some 3DS Max tutorials.
Hmm.
Hmm.
I started in 3D 3DS Max. It's not bad.
Yeah. I like how similar to Cinema it is, you know, with being able to add the deformers and stuff like that. So
yeah,
anyway, all right, cool. Well, thanks for listening, you guys. It's been a blast. Sorry I'm all sickly and sound like, you know, I got something shoved down my throat, but you know, tis life. So hit us up. Thank you guys for listening. I'm Matt Milstead.
I'm Dave Koss.
See you later, bros.
Have a good one. pretty good, I guess. Brograph.com, an online resource for learning critical components of Cinema 4D and After Effects, specifically catered to help you prevail as a motion graphic designer.
What's up, bros? Welcome to another Brograph motion graphics tutorial.
We give you professional time-saving tips, shortcuts, and lessons that help give you an edge over your fellow designers. Not only this, but our new Brograph Talks help you in your file management, hardware configuration, and client relations.
I love projects that scare me. When our art director comes to us and asks for something that I had never done before, man, it gets me pumped.
Join us for live sessions, check out our crazy Cinema 4D experiments, or just watch our Fun with Brograph series, where we show you practical applications for techniques learned in previous tutorials. Do this from the beginning, and your client is going to respect that, and they're going to respect you, and they're going to respect your time. Subscribe today and get automatic updates on the latest tutorials, tricks, tips, and inspiration brought to you by industry professionals Dave Koss and Matt Milstead, all with a slight dash of dry humor peppered in.
Real nice banana.
Brograph.com, your source for tutorials that will help you thrive in the motion graphics industry. Don't just play around with Cinema 4D and After Effects, master it, and make money by becoming indispensable at your workplace.
We don't care how you get here, folks, just get here!
Subscribe now to Brograph Tutorials.
It's pretty good, I guess.